Welcome back, everyone, to the Prepared Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Austin, and this week we're going to take a little bit of a step off the beaten path, if you will. We're going to talk a little bit more about life, and I guess specifically life outside of, I mean, all of the stuff we talk about. It gets a little bit exhausting. We're going to talk about burnout. Burnout's real. We're also going to talk about the importance of, to a degree, perception of having outside interests. And I think sometimes we view some people in our community as these like all-knowing, incredibly like intelligent individuals, which a lot of them are, to be very clear. But a lot of the times we go, you know, how are these people able to do all this stuff? They know all this knowledge and information, right? Outside of being tactically proficient, to use a maybe an unnecessary complex phrase. But reality is that there's a lot of mental health positive impacts to your mental health. There we go. When we're talking about having outside interests, having something else to express yourself in, doing things away from the range, away from the shoot house, away from the field or whatever, the AO, I don't know what you guys call it. I'm not an operator. I'm not allowed to call myself that. I wouldn't, just to be clear. I think, and it's so weird. Like, I've only had like maybe one or two guests on actually refer to themselves as an operator. I have had people use the phrase like when I'm out, when I have operated in those areas. But like, it's really odd to me that the guys who are allowed to say that about themselves, allowed as by like the court of public opinion, right? Because it's not like there's not a rule or a certificate or a merit badge, right, that says like I am operator. but like the legit dudes out there, they're not the ones calling themselves an operator. It's usually the guys that are trying to fill some weird, to a degree, philosophical gap within themselves and their person, maybe their ego, right? And they refer to themselves as an operator or one who operates. I'm not necessarily trying to make digs. I'm just sharing an observation about our community and some of the people in it at a very, very high level. But yeah, man, it's important. You know, we got to have stuff going on outside this. We're not going to this isn't going to be a deep dive into necessarily, or at least I'm going to try not to deep dive into what my interests and things are, but I'm going to do my best to, I think, share some thoughts and experiences and things, and probably, yes, end up, like I just said, I'm going to try not to, but I'll probably end up talking a bit about my outside interests and drawing some parallels and some relevance, and then also maybe even sharing some experiences that will validate the point of why we need some kind of variety. It is the spice of life, after all, but it's important. We really do, for a lot of, I think, mental health reasons, need to have things shaken up and changed up in our lives in a variety of ways. And you see that with a lot of the folks, honestly, whether you realize it or not, you see it with a lot of the folks that you follow in this industry. People have other interests. People have other hobbies. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about why we have this perception that they do or don't, the value, what it could be to you, maybe. We'll get into a whole bunch of stuff. Honestly, I think it should be a very chill conversation. I think that if you're somebody who's been kind of floundering around a little bit and kind of flapping in the wind, and maybe you just need a reset of sorts, that's a perfectly healthy feeling, something that I usually go through maybe about once a year, just because I'm not saying I'm more immersed than other folks or anything. I'm just saying that doing this podcast and chasing these activities and these goals and training and development, and yes, contrary to what a lot of people will tell you, I actually do chase personal fitness quite a bit. I am trying desperately to improve my overall appearance just so people leave me alone about it. I have actually gotten a lot healthier and a lot stronger over the last several years. People don't want to hear that either, but yeah, so it's a good thing, and you can separate that or include it, you know, fitness in the discussion. We'll probably touch on that a lot, I'm sure. But before we get into it, I want to say thank you to a couple of incredible partners that we have in the industry that make this podcast possible every week as we bring episodes and discussions and things like that to all of you. So I want to say thank you to Custom Night Vision, you guys. Custom Night Vision is a tremendous company based out of Houston, selling really like just awesome night vision products, including, yes, the devices themselves, but also, you know, all the fun stuff that goes with it. I think when we look at helmets and night vision setups, yeah, you look at the goggles, and if you're one of the uninitiated folks, you're like, yeah, cool, but what's all that other stuff, you know? And I'll tell you what, you can head on over to customnightvision.com, and you can poke around the website, and you can see everything the team at Custom has available to you aside from the night vision, you know? So they have the full line of Team Wendy helmets, so whether that's the bump helmet, the ballistic helmet, the ballistic SL, which is super lightweight, or now the new Epic helmet too, the specialist, that's very affordable. And they have a discount code. This is, I don't think people realize this. There's a discount code to save you a bunch of money in the product description on the website. So you can head over to customnightvision.com, go look in the helmet section, pick ballistic or bump, whatever you want, and find the helmet from Team Wendy that you're looking for and get a great discount. They also have things like lasers and lights and all the stuff to complete your night vision setup. And yes, of course, if you're looking to get into a set of night vision goggles or binos or duals, as some guys in the community refer to them, they have a full stocked selection ready to go. So whether that's the MH1 from Lloyd Innovations, that's what they sent out to me with some awesome, awesome filmless L3 tubes, or you want some RNVGs with some Elbit tubes, they have that stuff in stock. They also have single tube devices like the PVS-14, like the MH-14 from Lowlight, which is the individual tube component, you know, the whole ecosystem from Lowlight Innovations, where you can take two single tubes and bridge them together and whatnot. They also carry a bunch of other housings, DTNVSs, the several options from Nocturne Industries. You guys, one last time here. It's customnightvision.com. Head over to the website for yourself. Check it all out today and get into some freaking night vision because it's awesome. Also want to say thank you to Orion Training Group, you guys. They're some fantastic dudes teaching some fantastic courses to other rad folks like you and I that are trying to improve ourselves, trying to seek out training and information. If you guys head over to OrionTrainingGroup.com, that is the website, and it has their full course calendar. I know they have a four-day class later this year in Tennessee that several guys up here in Michigan were like, wow, 4 days, that's awesome. There's a facility down there that has like robots and stuff, moving targets and things that they're able to incorporate into the training. You can get more information on that class on the Orion website. Again, it's OrionTrainingGroup.com in the courses section. They also have the Ricky Bobby class. I believe that is still, I don't know if there's openings, but it's down in Houston, Texas with Rob Epifania and Will. You guys might know him as Stuffs and Pews. You guys will learn how to shoot fast. That is the class for you. And I'll tell you what, they might do it again. If that's something you guys all want to see, reach out, let them know how you feel. And if you can't find a course near you, then reach out, talk to Jared. As long as you guys have a facility, a Will, there's a way to do it. You guys, they will help you out. They're a bunch of tremendous individuals with some awesome, awesome instructional capability. Now, lastly here, I want to say thank you to 100 Concepts. Their website is 100concepts.com, and they are always working, you guys, always working to develop new and innovative products and solutions to fix the problems that we all face out in the field, or to just innovate and develop and enhance the products that they already have out there, like their light caps, like their scope caps. They're reaching out. They're listening to their consumers. That's why we've seen the iterations, the Gen 1 light cap with the shock cord and the Ranger band. And then we moved on and we evolved into their shock collar system. So you didn't really have to fight with the Ranger band. People really didn't like that. So yeah, maybe it's a little bit of an added price, but it's way more convenient. Okay, cool. And then, hey, we want to take that a step further. We're going to ruggedize the material. We're going to make it quieter and more durable. Hey, do you guys want these scope caps without the anti-reflective device? They listen to their customers. They are a outstanding company, you guys. I love being able to say that we partner with them. Their company motto is do good, be dangerous, live free. Head over to 100concepts.com, check out the website for yourself, and pick up some new kit today. Thank you to all of our supporting sponsors. Prepared Mindset would not be able to do what we do, whether it's our YouTube channel, shameless plug, you guys go head over there and subscribe. It'd be great, help up the population. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. We've got videos dropping every week or almost every week. We got shorts dropping. And then all of these episodes and recordings can also be had on the YouTube channel. So if you guys are looking for a place that's a one-stop shop where you can find all of our content, YouTube's pretty much it. You can go check us out on Instagram too. They're throttling us down over there. So I don't know. We may be making some adjustments to Instagram, maybe getting a little bit less attention just because it's a more hostile environment. I've seen over the last year and a half, go from getting... I don't know. I was getting around 200 to 300 likes on posts and everything. I don't know what the engagement numbers were from viewers and everything, but I've seen that now tank down to below 100 on the regular. And it's the same content with actually better quality. I will say better quality over the last year and a half, and the engagement has just plummeted. So shadow banning's real. I know people are like, oh, are you sure you're shadow banned or does your content just suck? Well, it might be a bit of both, but in any case, that platform we've all seen is not beneficial for our people, at least not at this time. But speaking of all that, that kind of plays into this week's topic of discussion, which is, of course, having outside interests and being have a healthy balance to your life. And what's always really cool and interesting when I talk about some of the people that I've been able to interview over the years here on this podcast, people like Dutch Moyer, people like Drew from Bear Solutions, right, Drew Estel, they are these terrific men who have done, you know, awesome stuff, right? Been in the military, they teach and everything. And then you find out like, hey, what do you like, you know, what do you, I remember we had this conversation on the pod with Drew, and he talked about social media and Instagram. And he's like, oh yeah, my Instagram feed is lawn care. And I'm like, what? He goes, oh yeah, dude, I love lawn care. Like I like taking care of my lawn. I like making sure the house looks good. Like that's my thing. Dutch is into antique radios. And I'm like, really? Like old radios? Goes, yeah, man, I really dig it, you know. And it's one of those things that kind of makes you scratch your head sometimes because there's such pedestrian, I will say, that's a term I'll use, right? And that's not a dig, it's not a shot or anything. It's just when you look at the dynamic and kinetic lifestyles men like that have, they lead professionally, then it's often very strange when you come around and you're like, wait, that's what you do in your free time? Another great example is Drew, one of the guys here in Michigan from Two Vets Development Group. Him and Kyle run that training company here in Michigan. I've recently been able to connect with them. They were in the Orion class. We took that together. We did not get to be in the same training group together, unfortunately, but you know, I've been able to connect with those guys a little bit. I know just from seeing what Drew posts and things, music is a huge outlet for him aside from stuff on the flat range. And if you guys have been listening here on this podcast for any length of time, you know that music is a huge part of my life, and it was a much bigger part of my life up until about a year ago, honestly. For those of you that are new, just brief, because I don't want to make this completely and entirely about me. You know, when I was in high school, marching band was like this doesn't sound super, super fucking nerdy. Marching band was like a big part of my life for a lot of different reasons. Probably the biggest part was like the sense of community. I've actually been able to draw a lot of personal parallels with my experiences there, with the experiences people have in the military. And that's not to say that they're comparable in experiences, but I will say the activities are comparable because of the bonding and the... I'll say like the adjacent benefits, I think that you get from just, it's like team sports. It's why people are so, attracted to, you know, in their younger years, playing organized sports and organized activities is because of that team environment. We talk about it all the time with training and things is, you know, go find your tribe, right? As overused as that is, we can all relate to it. And we all agree that it's a great feeling. Go find your group of friends. And then those are the people that they understand you. They have, you know, you can have the same, shared interests, same passion. You know, we've all gone to parties where people are like, oh, what do you do in your free time? And you're like, oh, well, let me tell you, dude, I was ringing steel at 600 yards with my rifle today. And they're like, oh, okay, well, I'll put you on a list. And then, you know, you never hear from them again. Cause it's like, you're a fucking wacko, right? You get what I'm saying. So I was in marching band in high school. You know, I tried football before that. I got hurt, and basically the coach was not about to give me a good recommendation going into high school, and I didn't really have that strong a desire anyways. So found this whole like really awesome community, at least for me, in high school, specifically around being a percussionist, because they had a competing winter, it's called Winter Drumline. You guys can look it up. It's WGI.org. That's essentially what it is, and was like, hey, if you practice really hard and you get really good at this, they have a world class, which is the highest classification of competing group that you could, you know, audition for and get in. So I remember as like a high school senior who was 17, I beat out like 17 college students or something to get a spot in this group. And then went on to be in the, we placed ninth in the world, you know, so we were the ninth best group at what we did that year. It was a big deal. I went on and did it for 6 seasons because you age out when you turn 22. And all that time I had friends, I built relationships. I went through personal struggles. And it really, it built and defined me as a person, especially with, I'll say this pretty confidently because I'm not disclosing anything that I don't think anybody doesn't know, whether in and out or my family. I had a really rough relationship with my family going through my high school years. I think everyone does to some degree, right? And did not have a great relationship with my father. I don't think he really understood my dedication and my passion and things like that. And it led to a really, a very large rift that we're still, I think, repairing to this day. Something I struggle with all the time. But that rift in my life is what this community for, you know, music and stuff helped fill that. People stepped into my life that were huge mentors. And those of you guys that are in this, the 2A community, right? You understand the importance, the value, like the feeling, right? The love that you have for that mentor in your life. And that provided that for me. And for that reason, like, music has been a huge outside part. When I say outside, I mean outside of the podcast and shooting and training, outside the 2A community, not really related in any direct way. Although I will say a lot of the skills were transferable. But I stepped away from teaching, because basically when I aged out and I was 22, that was 2012. So about 13 years ago now. And even through that time, like during my time as a performer, I was still teaching high school groups. Like I said, up to a year ago was still teaching. I had taken a step back the last year or two that I was helping out, where I was like, you know, hey, I can't be here all the time. I took off the season that it was 2020 and that was gonna be my step away. And then COVID happened and I was like, oh shit. Like, wow, this is weird the way this all played out. Right. And cause I was like, going to be fast tracked for promotion at work. And there were some things that were going to, you know, and COVID effed that whole thing up. Like, hey, we're working from home now and blah, blah, blah. So I ended up going back to it the next year. And then after, you know, basically some things, some developments and some big growth here with the podcast, I was like, hey, I still want to do this. I can only commit to like, you know, a 60% or 70% attendance instead of, you know, everything. You know, and it's cool because it's cool because I think that music and teaching were something that I saw as an outside part of me, right? So an outside interest unrelated to what I was doing with shooting. Now I actually find myself like I was doing there where I was teaching for Jesus. Okay, so I started my first opportunity teaching was the summer after I graduated. It was another local high school. I taught their band camp. Which was at the school, so nobody asked any dumb stories. This one time at band camp. So 2007 to 2024, so what is that? I mean, it was almost 20 years, 17 years. I was teaching at least one program, if not two. I know when I moved into my house, I was teaching two different bands at the same time. So like all my weeknights and weekends were completely full. But I saw that as a huge outlet away from this, the way that so that my time and my brain and my mind weren't only and always thinking of this, you know, and I think sometimes we're blown away in this activity or in this community rather, by people who are able to be, you know, capable men and effective operators to lend the phrase from, the beginning of the recording here. And here's the thing. We'll sit there and guys will be like experts in CQB and shooting, but then they'll also have this whole other wealth of knowledge in other areas. For a lot of guys, they kind of lean into the whole community, right? So it's, oh, they're really knowledgeable on the Bible and being a better man and working out and stuff. And it's like, to me, in some ways, that's not really a true separation. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that's my perception. And what you have to realize, because I think two things happen. One, we always like to compare ourselves and go, man, I need to do more. I need to get deeper involved in this community. I need to go deeper into my training. I need to do more in terms of physical fitness and, you know, my faith and everything, because you want to emulate that other person. And I'm not saying that any of those things are bad at all. But as we've said before on this podcast, and everybody acknowledges, like, your time, what the hours and minutes that you have available to you in a day are finite. They're fixed. You never get any more. And at some point in your life, they run out, right? That's just life. So how do you want to spend that? Do you want to spend that life chasing somebody else? Hey, I want to be just like that person. Now, in some ways, that's fine. But if your whole goal is to be that person, you lose your entire sense of self. And I think at its core, that's the important part behind why you need to have outside interests. You need to have other things that define you as a person. And here's the thing, a lot of that stuff, this is crazy. If you guys, you know, crack a book or read into, you know, special operations and special forces, organizations like the Green Berets, for example, they love that shit. And they look for that in people because, oh, cool. Hey, so completely unrelated from shooting and survivability and being an operator, right? Oh, you were a welder in your previous life. And there are guys out there that they love welding. People do art with it. They do like hobby repairs and shit. Guys that work on cars because they love cars. They grew up around it and everything. Like I did. I love classic cars. I can't work on them, but I do know them and I love it. It's one of those things where I like, you know, I like going to car shows and hanging out. We have like the Woodward Dream Cruise here in Michigan, which I would love to check out sometime, but I do not have the patience or the tolerance for stupidity to go hang out and deal with that. From those of you that aren't from the area, Woodward is basically just a big like 4-lane road. So 4 lanes, a median, and then another 4 lanes going each direction. And the outside 2 lanes of traffic, so those nearest the curbs, are reserved for cruising for that weekend. And cruising meaning, hey, we're going to drive like 20, 25 miles an hour at most so people can see the cars. And, you know, you got music and you got companies out selling food and shit, right? And it's cool because I love seeing some of these cars. Like if you take the amount of passion that some of us have for training and performing at our craft and things, and then you were to apply that to restoring and maintaining a classic vehicle, just imagine that for a second. Like you'd have a pretty nice looking vehicle in a lot of instances, and these people have intimate knowledge of these platforms, the engines, the cars, the chassis, body work, body care, and sometimes it's even custom. They'll change shit on it. It's called, you know, a resto mod, and they'll hey, we put like a Ford Coyote motor in. In this classic Mustang here and did some body work and deleted the door handles or something. And it's like, oh, it's really, really cool. I could never do any of that stuff. I don't have the money to dump into that kind of thing. But it's cool because it, you know, is something where I can go spend a day doing that or a couple days. You know, I went down to the Autorama in downtown Detroit this past winter. That's a big deal here where people go for an entire weekend and they compete for awards and celebrities go and stuff. And it's really cool. But it's completely aside from the tactical space. You know, nobody, I'm not going to run into anybody that knows me from the podcast there. It's an opportunity for my wife and I to go do something. And that's a huge part of these outside interests is your family, you guys. Getting away from this, because I've had people reach out to me. I used to post videos all the time. I kind of got away from it just because, you know, certain reasons. I used to post videos of my wife and I dry firing and practicing and stuff together. And it's not really like her, it's not her greatest passion in life like it is for me right now. And that's fine. But having something that breaks away from that where you can both just enjoy it, it doesn't have to be something that's all consuming or triggers stress, because you guys know as well as I do, as we get further and further into this community, right, as we're talking about building a training group, right, going to the range, your range performance, like there's some of you guys out there, and I've met some of you, you turn into giant fucking cocksuckers at the range when you have a bad range day. If you run a rep on a drill, maybe you run two, and you're still the slowest time out there just because you don't got it that day, man. Not saying you're a bad shooter, not saying you got a problem or anything, you don't got it that day. Like that drill's throwing you for a loop. The processing with the brain's not happening. Maybe you didn't eat enough sugar that morning or sleep enough, or I don't know, right? And you turn into an asshole oh, you're in a pissy fucking mood, and then you got to get 7 more reps until you're the fastest time there because your ego can't fucking handle it. And you know what that does for everybody else? It's stressful. And anybody else who's hanging out with you goes from having a good time at the range, trying to just get better together, to all of a sudden feeling like they have to compete with you over this, or they have to, if they don't compete, then they're going to get a bunch of shit afterwards. Like, I've lived through this crap, and it's like, sometimes I get it. Most of the time, though, it's just fucking annoying. Everybody has bad range days. The nice part, at least with being a civilian and a concerned citizen, is that you're allowed to have a bad day with the understanding, right, that it's not acceptable as a long-term, for long-term performance-wise, it's not acceptable. It needs to be better, right, and adjusted. And then, okay, cool, you're good to go. Having something that's outside this activity, like, you know, if you're interested in classic cars, sports. It's one of the things I don't understand, you know, guys, I apologize. I know I'm like jumping all over the place here, but this is one that irks the ever loving fucking shit out of me. Professional sports, as I've gotten older, as my free time changes and opens and things like that, not saying I have an abundance of it, but following some kind of professional sporting events is, I think, huge, because it gives you an opportunity. You can go attend these events. You can watch them on TV. You can listen to them on the radio while you're working out or something. And it gives you something to talk about with people, to connect with people outside. And that's the thing. There is a whole fucking world out there away from the 2A space. Some of you guys don't understand that you can function without having to make this, like, you don't have to wear the grunt style shirts or the Under Armour Freedom shirts or, you know, your favorite, you know, and I'm saying this as somebody who wore a fucking Pharaoh Concepts t-shirt to a, what was it? It was a concert I went to with my wife on Sunday night. Not my music. I was Sleeping with Sirens and Pierce the Veil. That's just two bands. Like, her girlfriend was supposed to go with her and backed out the last minute. She didn't want to go alone, and I didn't want her to go alone, so I sucked it up and went with her. I was actually messaging JT about it while I was there. I'm like, because he's into metal, so that wasn't like his scene, but it was closer to his than mine. And it was wild, dude. Some of the people watching there, some very strange people at that concert. I mean, they sold out. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, the music, I mean, but it was very interesting. But I digress. You don't have to, like, you know, it doesn't have to be every ounce of your persona, right? Pharaoh Concepts t-shirt with 5'11 jeans and Salomon shoes and your favorite, you know, whatever company baseball cap or whatever, with a watch that came from like a boutique brand that caters only to first responders or something. People literally make this their entire personality and their entire life. And it's kind of weird because you don't even realize it, but you lose these social skills. Unless this is your job, where, and some people it is, you know, I'm not trying to be overly critical. I'm not trying to bag on anyone, but I'm saying that unless it's your job, you don't necessarily need to make it every part of your life. Like, it's okay if your closet has like dress clothes and golf polos. Hey, it's okay. If you golf once in a while, like, that's crazy. And that just drives me up the wall when, you know, I'll post stuff. I'll either say it here on the podcast or I'll post stuff on like the Instagram story or something. Like last year, right? My Detroit Lions. Now, I have been a Detroit Lions fan since I was a child. It's how we were raised in my household, just because it's just the way it was, right? And historically, we have been a horse shit franchise. If you guys don't follow sports and don't follow football, just like go look up like the last like 50 years of records, like what our wins and losses have been as a football team. And it's been abysmal, like real, real fucking bad. So finally got things, you know, fucking figured out here, right? Got a really good head coach, got a really good general manager that knows how to draft. Last year we went 15-2. So the best record in our history, best record in the conference, right? So great season for us. And I'm like all fired up. And I got people like giving me shit in my DMs because it's like, I won't fucking support the NFL because yes, they had some issues with people. I don't even say issues necessarily, but they were condoning players taking a knee on the field during the national anthem. And then, you know, there's like, now, well, this season, you're actually seeing a lot of teams and players and stuff speak out against the Pride events, which that is their right. And a lot of people were upset about that stuff. And I get it if, you know, you personally and politically and religiously don't agree with those things, I do understand, but like, ignore, like, cut that part out of it. Then don't go there and spend money at the games. I certainly get that. I mean, shit, I think Detroit has like the second highest ticket price in the country right now. It's retarded. So you don't have to financially give them, but I mean, here's the thing. When you go out to functions with other people, you know, when your wife wants you to go out to a dinner or something and you have to make friends with another one of the husbands, or if you're one of the wives listening right now and you got to make friends with one of the other wives, it is so fucking helpful to know something about shit outside of how to fucking pull a trigger. Like, it is outstanding. How many times I've seen people just completely fall on their face in social situations because they are a one-dimensional human being. I'm not saying that's only restricted to the 2A space. Lord knows, like, I've seen people do it with disc golf, which, you know, I used to do that before I started the podcast. I tried to, was not very good at it, spent a bunch of money on it, you know, and you know, tried doing some of it, you know, simultaneously, eventually just got out of it, sold all the Frisbees for a profit, bought a suppressor. It was a pretty good time. Those are the only things you know how to do are like incite arguments by talking about politics and talk about disc golf. And I have a couple of those friends, or I did. I don't really spend time with them anymore for reasons which should be pretty obvious based on what I just told you. But here's the greater points, aside from just social situations, aside from just the benefits to, you know, the casual interactions you have with people, is mentally speaking, it's healthy. All right. All of us know, and I think the phrase is starting to maybe be a little bit overused or over leveraged, perhaps, in corporate America. And it's funny how this stuff like goes in cycles and things or comes back around. But burnout is real because it takes this, like, that it's the importance behind taking a vacation from your day job every year. It really is. And you see certain, you know, European nations where they make it law. And it's one of those very few things I'll say where Europe got it right, I think. Mental health in Europe, I think, is much better overall. They have some issues too, but than what we have here in America. They do some things I wish we did. Not everything and not most things, to be honest, but there are some things. And, you know, the mandatory 2 weeks of vacation or whatever they give, I think is something that absolutely should be a rule here. And I know a lot of companies have adopted it here. I know the place I work, as long as you've been the employee for the full year, they force you to take a full five consecutive business days off at least once during the year. My previous employer did that as well. And it's so that you can avoid burnout and the mental fatigue and the emotional damage, I guess, you know, for lack of a better phrase, that is incurred when you're just working day in and day out. And, you know, you don't have time to, it's not even that you don't have time to go do other things you enjoy. It's that you only have a little bit of that time. And certainly 2 weeks out of 52 in a year is, I think it's a low number. And that's why you've, you know, paid time off and stuff like that and whatever. Or hopefully you do. I know not all jobs do have that, where you can take that time and you can go separate your mind, body, your spirit, your soul, whatever, from the day in and day out of your job and go relax and regenerate. And then, you know, they lean into it. I know bosses and shit are like, oh, you come back regenerated and ready to go because we really need you to jump on this. And it's like, could you just let me enjoy the wind down heading into vacation and my vacation time? I'm fully aware, as somebody who's been in, you know, my career path, as many of you guys also do have, like, that when I come back, I'm going to have a shitload of emails and I'm going to have to work twice as hard for that, like, week or 2 weeks to get caught back up. That's just how it works with vacations. That's why some people actually dread going on them, is because the mountain of work that piles up while they're gone, because they have terrible teammates that don't help manage that for them while they're out of the office. But, you know, I digress. I think that it's just healthy to be, I don't want to keep saying well-rounded, because that's such an open interpretation, such an open-ended phrase, is, oh, I'd be a well-rounded individual. When guys in our community say well-rounded, it's like, oh, they know survivability, they know shooting, they know small unit movement, they know CQB, they know, you know, everything a little bit, so they're well-rounded. And no, I mean well-rounded in terms of being like a fucking human. Can you cook? Like, that's a huge thing that I at one point was trying to invest myself in have fallen short of that tragically, right? And I, you know, want to get back on that. I have 110%, I think, hit the burnout phase in the middle of the year. The weather's great. I don't want to be down in my basement. You know, I am right now, obviously, recording, but I don't want to be inside recording and filming content and taking pictures and filming shorts. And then after all that's done, editing before I post it to YouTube or Instagram, whatever, like the content shit, it's a fucking grind, man. And the burnout is only made worse the deeper you're invested into this. And guys don't see that. One of the things that just happened, look at this shit with Lucas and leaving T-Rex Arms. I didn't really want to bring that into this discussion, but you know, I'm sure now that he's married, he has been for a couple of years now. And I think he shared he was going through counseling with his wife when some other shit happened in the community. Like, being one-dimensional and being only invested in one facet of your life is damaging. It's damaging to your marriage. It's damaging to your family. It's damaging to you personally. And if you shit, you fucking wonder why the divorce rates in the military are so fucking high. I mean, it's the exact same thing. Different context. But it's the exact same thing. Yes, they're going on 6-month deployments, but when they're home, they're not really home. And I can say this confidently because I've heard it in interviews and shows and movies and books. You know, every one of these guys has, you know, 1, 2, 3 different divorces and 1, 2, 3, 4 different marriages or whatever, because their life is just this. And yes, when it's your job like that, at the level that a lot of guys in special operations and special forces, what it has to be, right? Because if you want to come home for whatever you have here waiting for you, whether it's kids or a wife and kids or parents you got to take care of or siblings you love or all of the above, right? You have to come home alive. You have to. And that's why the training has to be so important. And then we take that mindset, that approach, that all or nothing approach to training, and we as civilians who we do want to emulate these individuals, we want to perform at their level, you know, because obviously a lot of these folks have done this at the highest level, right? So then we start shaping ourselves and our lives and our schedules around those kinds of things and constraints. But it's different because we, in addition to that, we're at least with the military and a lot of like high, I'll say higher level, like law enforcement teams and law enforcement agencies and whatnot, you know, that is your day job. So when you come home, you have your time to spend with your family. Well, with us as civilians, why this is more damaging in a lot of ways is that you have an 8 to 10 hour a day job, and then you come home and you want to put your free time, which you have, into your hobbies, into your passions, which cuts into the time you then have for your family. And it's, I get it, it's a balancing act. Like, it's very, very difficult. None of this, if it was easy enough to just be really good at everything and do everything a little bit all at once without anything suffering, the world would be fantastic. But it's just not fucking realistic. It's just not. And again, I'm not saying that you should take time away from training. I'm not saying that you should, not do certain things. But what I am saying is that we have a real problem as this ecosystem, the 2A space that we talk about, this community, whatever, with being able to acknowledge that it's okay to take time away. Now, you'll see it. You get, you know, guys post, it's almost like a humble brag where you'll see instructors that travel the country for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks on end, and then they'll post up, be like, oh, taking a week off, guys, going to turn off the phone or whatever. You won't be able to reach me. And everyone's like, oh yeah, good for you, man. Like, you deserve it. And they do. I'm not saying that they don't, but it's the same thing that everybody should do with their day job and their lives, but that so many of us don't do. Like, when's the last time I could not, like, and I'll be very, very honest to you guys right now. I could not tell you the last time I went a day without thinking about this shit, let alone a full week without thinking about this shit. It just, you know, and that's a struggle. I'm not saying that it's easy, the disconnect and everything, but it helps if you have an outside interest that you're able to pour a different, you're able to pour yourself into it, at least for a different way of experiencing life temporarily. I don't know if that makes sense. Hopefully that does. And that was one of the nice things, like when I was teaching music and everything, go to like band camp and whatnot, I get to go away for a week. I'm outside all day long. so away from screens and everything, and I'm in shorts and flip-flops. Usually the weather's pretty good. I'm worried about music. I'm talking about music. I'm teaching kids, offering some life advice. I don't know. You know, like it's a very different thing than what I'm doing here with the podcast and with my day job. Hey, I'm not, you know, out at the range, yelling at guys or getting yelled at or trying to, you know, put myself in a high stress situation to try and, you know, do a drill. And, you know, like it's, there's just so much that comes with this, this whole activity, this whole ecosystem. And that's like taking the personal relationship side out of the discussion at the moment. You know, I feel like when we have these groups of people who are so completely and without exception, devoted and invested in only this part of themselves, they don't like, and here's the thing, it could be anything. It can be adjacent stuff. I'm not trying to devalue what guys look at and see as an outside interest. Some of these things are also popular, and maybe that's why they're also becoming popular in this community, because they're common interests outside of tactical shooting, tactical operating and training and things. Barbecuing and smoking meats is something that I've seen become very, very popular, which is really cool. It's something that I don't do very well. I can cook a steak. I can cook burgers and chicken and stuff. Like, I can work a grill, obviously. But some of that stuff where guys get like, hey, you do a salt rub and let it sit for, like, it was like 24 hours or something. And you scrape off all the salt and then reverse sear it. I'm just making this up out of my ass because I quite literally don't know, right? But that's become very popular. Another thing that a lot of guys have gotten into, and albeit a little bit more bougie, is you know, wristwatches. And maybe if you guys are interested in that, by the way, I have been thinking about that. I have been thinking about bringing, you know, a couple of people on to talk about watches, because I like watches. I know a little bit about them, but there's some people like this is, you know, I know my friend Chris Blau, which, by the way, Chris, if you listen to this, happy birthday, belated. I know I talked to you on your birthday, but or at least messaged. He was doing a series of posts and videos on Panerai watches, which were used, I think, by like the I may be wrong on this, but the Italian military. And then there's like this whole fascination with Rolexes too. And obviously Rolex is a luxury brand of watch that most of us really can't afford. But there's history to it. And I was watching, rewatching the GBRS video. They dropped like a year or a year and a half ago. They were talking about watches, right? And obviously DJ's dad was a SEAL in Vietnam, and they were issued, I think he said Grand Seikos with like the Pepsi bezel and stuff, you know, and then obviously there's the whole like cultural thing of having a Rolex. And I know some guys, I know I have good friends, both Jonah over at 100 Concepts and Jeremiah at Teardown Systems. When I ran into them at the HTA charity event back in September, both run or wear, I should say, Tudor watches, which I don't personally love Tudor just because I don't like the hour hand. But they're nice watches, and they, oh, hey, cool. You got a Tudor too. Like, which one did you get? Like, why'd you get it? I really like it. Oh yeah, I love mine. So it's one of these outside things that can, it plays into the community, and maybe that's okay. You know, if it plays into what you're doing here and it allows you to deepen relationships, and add another dimension to that friendship, that relationship, then I think that's a healthy thing. That's a good thing. What I see and what I have personally lived through and personally experienced is that we focus only on the shooting and only on the training. And then what happens is we eventually, the depth of our passion gets to a point where we have certain things, right? Different skill sets, different areas of focus and discipline, right? Where we're very passionate about. And then we expect those around us to share that passion. And when that doesn't happen, it causes conflict, right? So, you know, one guy wants to go out and work on small unit tactics in the field. One guy wants to work on medical all the time. One guy wants to work on CQB, and somebody else just wants to go to the range and work on shooting fast. And everybody feels so strongly about the benefits and value of what they have that they refuse to give up on it. And it starts driving wedges between each other because it's the only thing. The burnout starts to kind of like manifest itself within your group. And this is something that I wish I had the opportunity to do more, which, not for lack of trying, I'll be very, you know, honest with that, but is spend time with the people that you have made connections with in this community. spend time with them away from the range, away from this. Get the families together. Go barbecue. We have a social district here in the city I live in where they shut down like two blocks of the city and they have music and you can get drinks and walk around on the street and they have vendors out there and local businesses stay open late to sell coffee and cheesecake or whatever they do, you know, or they'll set up a tent or something outside the front of their store. So it kind of, you know, helps the community and stuff. And hey, guess what? It has absolutely nothing to do with the tactical space, but you're making a connection. You're developing a relationship. You're making memories with these people who are some of your closest friends in a lot of instances anyway, outside of the 2A space. And it's totally fucking healthy. And when it doesn't happen, it can be extremely damaging. Like I said, I've lived through it. Like I'm not just pontificating on this and saying, oh, this could happen. Like, oh, think about how bad it is. You know, when you and your wife only ever talk about, like, think about that. And it's a good example. Think about you and your wife when you only talk about, you know, how her work is going. You know, and my wife and I went through that phase at one point. It's like, I am so sick of hearing about your job. I get it. It's a huge part of your life. And it's not our current job, by the way, but it was a couple jobs ago. You hate who you work for. He's a giant douchebag. I have met him once and I concur. I do not like this guy. And there's a whole bunch of stories actually about that boss. And he really was a terrible fucking person. I'm not going to get into it out here because it involves some people's personal shit, but, regardless, you know, we had to have that conversation and go, hey, we need to put limits on this. And there's like some emotional intelligence that's kind of built into all of this too. And I think it all wraps together, you know, hey, if you have something that you can bond with somebody on outside of this primary interest, so like music, like watches, like cars, like a TV show even is perhaps enough. You know, if you guys are into collecting, I don't know, sports cards or something of that nature, those additional outlets for your energy, for your relationship, I'll just say it's essential. I feel that way. I feel that strongly about this, that if you develop a one-dimensional relationship, it's flimsy and it's fragile. And when you have a fracture, like a disagreement over what's important to train on or something, that there's only one place, like when we think about it, like controlling recoil with your grip and your stance and all that stuff, right? Once you have a weak spot that you haven't addressed, that's where that recoil goes. And as you try to shoot faster and do more, then that weak spot just gets worse and worse and exposes more and more problems you have when applied across multiple skill sets. So, you know, it's bad enough when you're shooting a rifle. It's worse when you're shooting a handgun. And it's way fucking worse when you're shooting both. And it's catastrophic when you're trying to shoot on the move. Hopefully that maybe makes more sense. But when you have multiple dimensions to a relationship, it makes it stronger. So yes, when you have outside interests that you share with each other, and it doesn't have to be built around the guys that you're training with. This is just a really, really, I think, applicable part of the discussion, because so many of us, like you see relationships and friendships fall apart. You see people go their separate ways and grow distant and things, because the only way you knew them was around the range, you know? And the weird part is guys get very emotional too about this stuff, because they feel so devoted to it. And they'll trash friendships. They won't be able to see past it. And, you know, and because you're so passionate about things, a lot of times guys will, I'm sure I've been guilty of this before. You're so passionate about what's going on, you refuse to acknowledge that you could have ever been wrong in any of it. And it leads to just the worst fucking shit. It's not great, you know. We'd all like to avoid it, I'm sure. And that's where the mental health piece comes in, because eventually you start driving away friends, and the less people you have around you, the worse off you are. You know, something that my dad said to me when I was a kid growing up, because we used to, you know how kids are. If you guys think back to it when you were in elementary school and stuff, I'm sure you got maybe like a couple thoughts of people that you didn't really like in school, or you would make fun of them, or you would pick on them, or at least talk about them to your parents, like, oh yeah, that kid's weird, you know, he wears clothes that are too small for him, or that kid's weird because he always smells funny or eats his boogers or whatever, I don't know. And, you know, my dad told me, you know, hey, I've never had so many friends that I couldn't afford, or that I could afford to lose one. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, I've never had so many friends that I could afford to lose one, meaning like, don't write people out of your life if you don't have to. Like, accept people for who they are, try to work with people, and try to maintain relationships. Like, don't throw away friendships recklessly. That is something I think we've gotten, you know, and I know we're getting a little bit far from the point here, but it is tied in. I feel like it's worth saying that because we're so digital now, man, people believe that they have relationships. They have these friendships. Oh yeah, I'm friends with the guy that runs this channel on YouTube. He lives out in Arizona, but we're really, really good friends. Like, are you really? In the event that shit went sideways in his life, is he going to call you? In the event that his wife or girlfriend was pregnant with their first child, are you going to be the first person he calls? If the apocalypse were upon us, would you be the one that he calls to back you up? No, he's in fucking Arizona and you've met him once. Or, you know, this guy doesn't even know who the fuck you are, but because he's responded to some of your messages, you're friends. They're, you know, following what they tell you to follow for a training plan or how you run your gear or what you should work on. Or here's one that's more important, what you shouldn't do because of their biases and how they can and can't fucking make money off you in this industry or community or ecosystem. You know, oh, then you have to stick with that because you have this irrational emotional connection, not the physical connection you literally might have with one of your friends who you have physically spent time with, but with somebody who you don't know, but feel because of what that connection brings to you, apparently, that it's worth throwing away. And this, you know, and this is the thing, you guys, the relationships that we have in this community are the bedrock of everything. They are. Like, why, what else are we fighting for then? Like, yeah, you want to protect your family, but you can't do it alone. We've talked about that. And if you're going to surround yourself and train with people, you should trust them and care for them because, and those of you that have served in military and law enforcement know, like, that is a powerful component to the whole equation, is that you're fighting for the person next to you. And if you fucking hate the person next to you, it's not really a very strong argument, is it? And I think that's worth pointing out and worth saying and worth talking about. It doesn't get, you know, I don't think anyways, enough focus. But here's the thing. If you have beef with the guys in your training group or in your circle of friends or whatever, like, yeah, you need to fucking overcome that shit. Find common ground. That's why, like, I try to connect with folks, at least guys that, like, I spend a lot of time training around. Like, hey, how's the gym going? Like, and yeah, you know, fitness is a huge part of the community. You know, I get called fat on YouTube all the time. I get it. I got one this morning. It was great. You have too much fancy shit on your gun and should focus more on fitness. I'm like, so what upsets you more, the quote unquote fancy shit on my gun or the fact that I don't look the way you want me to? Which is great, by the way, because both are like really stupid points, but it's the internet. What the fuck are you going to do? But fitness is a huge part of this community, and maybe that's a way that you strengthen both relationships. If you spend time together in the gym or talking about fitness, hey, you can help that person who wants to be better. I fucking hate saying this. They want to be better tactically, right? I've been able to share some information with some folks and the things that I've learned in the CQB courses I've taken. Not a professional, not the greatest, but at least I can foundationally explain some stuff and get people started to where they can go pay for a 4-day class, right? Like, shout out Orion Training Group. You guys in Michigan, you guys listening, drive down to Tennessee. It's about a 9-hour drive or something like that. It might be less. Maybe it's 7 hours. I don't know. It's not that like god awfully long. Go down to Tennessee, take a 4-day class with them, or drive out the 5 hours to Ben Franklin Range when they do a class and take, you know, or any of the companies that do these longer courses and stuff. But you have that foundational knowledge so that when you're stepping into that class, right, you are more comfortable. And then in exchange, right, because I'm able to provide this, maybe this other person's able to provide me with fitness help, guidance, because it's something I've really struggled with. It's something I have an interest in. I enjoy going to the gym. I enjoy the way I feel after the gym. I enjoy the little bit of development I've seen, you know, in my upper body and things from going to the gym. And I still don't feel like I have a great grasp on it. And I don't have a workout partner. There's nobody I know that's local to me that I can go, hey man, let's like get on a schedule together. I'd love to hold each other accountable, things like that. But those are the kinds of relationships that build lifelong friendships. And when I look at my own life and my own situation, there's guys that I went to high school with, I still talk to, maybe not every day, still talk to. They have absolutely nothing to fucking do with the 2A community. I shouldn't say nothing. They hunt. And I think they might listen to my podcast once in a while. But like we've been friends for over 20 years now, which I don't see changing. In a lot of cases, had issues, whatever. That happens. Adult relationships are hard. And outside interests like the Lions, like the Tigers, like, I mean, hunting isn't really in this space. So I'll say hunting, you know, in business, you know, online marketing, stuff like that. I spend way more time talking those relationships about those things. And because there's multiple dimensions to it, there's outside interest, there's outside knowledge. You're not just talking about the same fucking thing every time. Like I'm in this phase right now and I love my mother to death, but my parents are trying to sell their home. And my mom just quit her job because the guy she was working for was a gigantic dick bag. And every time she calls me lately, every time, hey, how are you? I'm good. I get 30 seconds about me. And then it's another guaranteed 9.5 to 39.5 minutes of her talking about what's happening at the job that she no longer works at, or how concerned she is with trying to sell their house because they're trying to buy another one. It's going to be their forever home, you know, that whole deal and everything. And like, you know, okay, not that I don't want to be supportive, but after the first like couple dozen times this shit went on, yeah, it is upsetting, to hear to, you know, it's just one dimensional. There's nothing to it. And it weakens the relationship there. We could go into it psychologically speaking. I know there's probably some factors there because everybody wants to be seen and everybody wants to be heard. I've learned that in my career coaching with my job, and it rings true in every facet of life. And that's part of the problem is that when we are building a relationship around one singular thing, we as humans have this tendency, right, that we want to be have our way be the right way. It takes a very unique kind of individual. I'm not saying this is good or bad, that just lays down for everything. It's, oh, your way is the best. Let's do it. Your way is the best. Your way is the best. You're like, no, we want to be seen and we do eventually want to be heard. So, you know, when you have a relationship built on outside interests and things, it's healthier, it's better, it's easier, and it's going to have more longevity. It's a big deal, you guys. And I hope, like, I feel like when I get onto some of these less tangible topics, so when we're talking about outside interests, when we're talking about relationship building, when we're talking about mental health, it's, you know, it can be difficult to grasp and understand. But I do believe, like, honestly, if someone were to message me after this and say, dude, I don't have any fucking clue what you just said, and I think you made up all of that shit just to fill up an hour, I would say, well, I was trying to fill up an hour, but that's about all you got right there. Because I've lived through this stuff. I've searched out coaching and guidance on this stuff, and I've, you know, been super reflective, and tried to be very reflective about my own actions, my own behaviors and things like that, because I think it's really important to learn from our mistakes in life, to learn from our successes in life, just to learn about ourselves in general. And that's one thing I keep coming back to is that, like, hey, you can't allow yourself to be stagnant and one-dimensional. So that's why, like, when I talk to guys in this space, it is fucking hilarious how many men, grown men, don't read books. Not that they can't read, but they won't read a book. And it's like, okay, why not? Oh, I don't have the time. Well, what's the easiest way to, like, expand your knowledge short of, like, just doing something physically? It's reading. Like, you want to learn about stuff? Go read a fucking book. Oh, I hate reading. Okay, well, try an audiobook, I guess. But, like, guys don't read. And then, because we don't work on ourselves, we don't try to develop ourselves or improve ourselves as people, we start to suffer in ways which we don't realize to be outwardly impactful. And the biggest one ends up being communication. Like, guys in this industry and this community, this ecosystem, I think I'm going to start saying all three of those every time I refer to all of that shit. The biggest problem I see with dudes is communication. Like, there's like this weird implied assumption when certain language is used, guys are just like, oh yeah, hey, I'm free after X amount of time. And then all of a sudden they just assume that that means that you guys are going to get together. Or there's an assumption that because, you know, they said they wanted to do something on X date, but you guys never hammered down details. There's either assumption one way or the other. Oh, hey, well, I just figured we weren't going to go because you never spelled it out for me. I'm like, well, why don't you hold your hand? And if you had a question, why didn't you follow up and say, hey, I wanted to confirm, are we going to go hit the range? Or are you just talking about, you know, you might want to? you know, and the other way is true. Hey, why didn't you show up? You said we were doing this. Well, I said I might be. My brother does this to me sometimes, and it drives me up the wall. And it's like, dude, don't waffle on me. Just fucking, like, develop your communication skills and let me know. Are you going to be there or not? Like, as long as the communication is built and grounded in facts, like, my emotional response to it should probably be irrelevant. And that's kind of one of the paths I have started trying to take with communication, especially difficult communication with people. But again, that's because I started investing outside of just being able to pull a trigger and just being able to clear rooms and just being able to run comms and whatever. It's because I want to be a better person. And all of these things work together to make you a better person. You can't just work on one, like, one factor of yourself. It's kind of like when you're playing, like, a video game. I think it's Borderlands, where you can, like, up and increase, like, certain attributes of your character. And if you put all of your shit into, like, one category, so, like, oh, dude, I'm, like, a 59 out of 60 on speed, but I'm, like, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 60 and everything else. Like, yeah, you're fast. You can't do any fucking damage. If you get hit once, you're going to fucking die. And you know what I mean? Like, you can't. You cannot build yourself, just like in a video game, you cannot build yourself around one singular attribute, one piece of yourself. So having outside interests, having outside goals, having things outside of this realm, it's healthy. You know, and I can't overstate that enough. And I really do. I hope that this, like, rambling here, because if I know it's been about an hour, I do really hope that this is helpful for some of you guys. I do get feedback on this stuff. Some of you guys really like these discussions where I kind of talk about more abstract concepts. Because if you guys want more discussion around setting up rifles and optics and lasers and stuff, I will continue to do that anyway. But I feel like getting away from it sometimes and talking about things is good. It's healthy. It shakes up content for me. Obviously I have a lot of feelings and a lot of experience throughout, you know, I'm like 35. So in my 35 years, maybe the last 20 for the most part, right? Since I kind of got close to adulthood, and then as I continue to get close to adulthood, at least emotionally and stuff, you know, I have experiences that I've learned from, but I would also wish that at some point somebody had, like, popped up out of space and time and been like, hey, don't do that. You're going to regret this later in life. Don't do that. Or, you know, whether it's good or bad, whatever. And trying to share the benefit of my struggle, really. Like, I don't have it all figured out. Like, and here, I'll say this. If during this entire discussion, you guys were frustrated or annoyed because it sounds like, or I'm trying, you believe I'm trying to sound like I have this all figured out, I apologize. I do, because I don't have this figured out. I really don't. I have worked on it, and I have observed that a lot of men in this community, they don't. They're not interested in improving their communication skills. They're not interested in growing and developing unless it's in a very certain area for a very certain, like, goal and need. And outside of that, they don't give a fuck. They spend all their money on this and only this. They spend all their time on this, and they let their family fall apart. They let their outside life fall apart. They throw away friendships like it's nothing, and, like, that sucks, man, because that's the kind of stuff that comes back. Maybe when you're in your you know, early, mid, late 20s, you feel one way. I can tell you now, as I'm heading, unfortunately, towards the end of my 30s, that at the time, you do feel one way. Years later, you feel a different way. So I don't want to say I'm only doing this because I don't want to kind of take away from it, but I want to say that I am trying to share the benefit of my experiences. And then, yes, a lot of the learning and investment I've done into myself through, you know, some various resources and things that were available to me through work and coaching, some books that I've read, right? Some around business development, some around communication, some around personal development that I think are helpful. And I think that we have to talk about it, you know, otherwise it's just like one person has the idea and then it just fades away into obscurity because there's no, buy into it. But I think just like we've seen with people in the community getting into barbecuing and smoking meats and cooking and eating healthy and stuff like that, which then ties back into fitness, which ties into your operational ability, right? Or we talked about watches and we talked about music, or, you know, mentioned at the very beginning, you know, Drew Estel with his lawn care infatuation, which I'm actually very envious of. My lawn doesn't look bad, but like I just have so little interest in making my yard look, you know, perfect evergreen. It's just not my thing. But hey, Drew, rock on, man. You know, so I hope this is helpful for you guys, and I hope you take away some things from it. That's ultimately what I'm trying to get at here. And I appreciate you guys sticking through. If you've made it to this point and listening, like I know that this can sometimes be frustrating and also a dry subject to get into. But you know, I feel like it's necessary, right? And while you're here listening to this, maybe, I don't know, stop, subscribe, make sure you go to YouTube and subscribe to our YouTube channel and the Instagram, like shameless plug in the middle of all of it. I don't even care. I'm trying so hard to understand the algorithm. It is driving me up the fucking wall, but there's some great information out there. I'm actually really happy with some of the videos we've dropped lately. So if you guys would do that, it would mean a lot to me. And if you send me a message, I'll definitely send you a heartfelt thank you. But yeah, this topic, this discussion piece, this point on all of this stuff, it's incredibly important. Because here's the thing, as you build a team and want to build your team, these are the kinds of things that take it from just a gathering of like-minded individuals, and you go from that, which is like your introductory phase, to a group of friends, like a bonded team of men. And it's not to say it's easy. I'm not saying that you're not going to have your struggles with that. And here's the thing. If you want it to work, you'll find a way for it to work. If you don't give a shit, then it won't. You know, it is what it is. If you guys have thoughts on this, like I would love to get some feedback on this one. If you're listening on YouTube or something, drop a comment, drop some notes, let me know. You can shoot me an email if you want, if that's your jam. Shoot me a message over on Instagram. You know, I love when people are like, hey man, I listened to the most recent pod episode, and what you said about this made a lot of sense to me. I've had people reach out to me about that kind of thing before, and it's so cool, always makes my day. So thank you guys so much for sticking around to this point and listening to this week's discussion. We'll have another episode for you guys, as always, next week. A lot of good stuff in the pipe as we are rocking through summer of 2025. Looking forward to it. But that's all I have for this week's episode, folks. So stay safe out there, enjoy the weather, and like we always say here, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.